Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Other Film Guys. I'm Zach.
And I'm Justin.
And just before we hit this episode, I want to give a quick reminder to go ahead and rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening to us on. It really helps people find us and lets us know how we're doing. So without further ado, let's get into the show. This week, we are returning to our Pattinson series, talking about his 2018, so we're jumping a year, film with Claire Denis, High Life. Justin, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm okay. I ran some errands today, so I'm a little tired from that, and I think I was just tired in general.
You're better than me.
It took a lot of effort, don't get me wrong.
I believe it.
But other than, you know, handling some business and just regular school stuff, I'm okay. I watched this movie yesterday. That was one of my rare days off. And yeah. So how are you?
I'm good. Speaking of, you know, having a hard time going at it, I had a hard time a little bit watching this movie on a second time. The first time I saw it with friend of the show, Jordan Brown. We went to the Cinemark up here on Market Street and checked it out like in between classes. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, this is pretty cool. He was like, I'm pretty cool on it. And now rewatching it again, I'm like, I'm pretty definitely cool on it.
Yeah.
I tried three different times this week to watch it.
Really? Dang. Yeah. It definitely is kind of a struggle to get through, I would say. It pretty much the same experience I had the first time I watched it. I mean, there's a lot to like about it, but just in general, like, especially to me, like, once we get to the midway point of the movie, it really starts to kind of, like, come to a crawl a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's not as much Pattinson as I, you know, maybe thought there would be. I don't know, it'd been some time since I had seen the movie, but I feel like there's definitely a smaller Robert Pattinson presence in this movie than as opposed to, like, you know, Good Time.
Yeah.
But then again, he's in almost every scene, I think, every shot, really, in Good Time.
Yeah. I mean, he's in this a fair amount, but it is definitely trying a bit more to be more like ensemble-y of a movie. I think this is the only film of Claire Denis that I've seen. But she's also done, oh no, you know what? I've seen, which one is it? Is it White Material?
I don't know if I've seen any of her stuff.
You know what? Actually, no, I lied. I think I was wanting to watch White Material, but I've actually only seen High Life. So I can't necessarily say.
She's made quite a few movies though, right? Or am I mistaken?
I believe so. She's directed. Now this is including like shorts and documentaries, of course.
Yeah.
34 directing credits on Letterboxd.
Okay.
So pretty big library to get through.
Okay, she made this. I don't know how to say it. it's a French, in French, like Beau Travail, I think.
Beau Travail, yeah.
Yeah, I've always wanted to see that.
That's supposed to be a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. Let the Sunshine In is a popular one. 35 Shots of Rum is a popular one.
So yeah, I haven't even heard of that one. Interesting. So this was definitely my first experience with her. And I don't know, didn't quite land.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it landed for me a bit more the first time I watched it. And I think, I don't know, maybe it's just not a rewatchable film as much as other films are.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I mean, it starts really slow, and which isn't a knock to the film. But we have mainly just Pattinson. It takes a while for us to get into the actual like meat of the story.
Yeah.
I feel like if this was arranged more, like, or like rearranged more, it might be easier to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I wasn't crazy about the editing. Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like it was kind of unfocused at times, and we would be away from Pattinson for a while in like that time frame. And I don't know. To me, it just strikes me as a little unfocused sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes with the narrative. I don't know.
One thing I do like the baby in this movie.
Excellent child actor. Excellent baby actor.
Which it's funny. That's the, like, the only tidbit I know about this movie is that the baby is Robert Pattinson's godchild.
Oh, that's nice.
They originally, because production companies usually like to hire like twin babies for movies, and the twin babies that they hired You know, they get in that paycheck.
Yeah, sign that contract.
The parents that they hired, the babies did not like Robert Pattinson.
Really?
I couldn't tell. He said he tried for... No, hold on. Because they weren't in this movie.
Okay.
Hold your horses, Justin. Sorry,
you're right.
He tried for 4 hours to bond with them and just couldn't. So he calls his friend. He's like, hey, we were trying to see if maybe like if you have the next 2 weeks open, if we could borrow your baby. And they did. And he only met the baby like once when it was like born, but they had an immediate connection.
Nice.
And you can see that in the movie. Yeah. They're very attached to each other.
I wanted to see more of that, I guess. Because honestly, that was what I connected to the most during the movie was, yeah, you know, the relationship between him and the baby and just watching them interact with each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, because aside from like the plot of the movie, I mean, that's where the movie lies. It's that connection with his daughter.
Yeah. That's definitely the key relationship, I would say, for sure.
Which I think this movie very much fails in that kind of twist or reveal. Because in the movie, it's revealed that, you know, well, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, go check it out and then come back. Because like, he essentially gets raped. Jeez. or whatever you want to call it. Because the main scientist on the expedition with them.
Yeah.
Is focusing on artificial insemination on women. And
so fucking crazy. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Just out and like the only thing, I don't know if they ever like really say, but all I'm thinking is like, what is the fucking point of this if you're all just going straight into a black hole anyway? I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, y'all are...
Well, because they were going into the black hole to try and harvest like an alternative energy source.
Right. Yeah. But I'm also like, wouldn't it take a long ass time to get back to Earth anyway?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they already be? The whole thing just felt like one like crazy, pointless suicide mission, in which I think, you know, pretty much the prisoners, they come to that agreement as well.
I mean, that's why they choose the prisoners, because they're already on death row or have life sentences.
Yeah.
So they're like, why not just, you know, use them for science?
Fucking garbage.
As much as I actually really love Robert Pattinson's performance, though, because I think he does some really great acting in this movie. So it was in the process for like 15 years. And I just found this out. It was originally wrote with Vincent Gallo in mind for the lead role. And then during the writing, Philip Seymour Hoffman was focused on.
Ah, interesting.
Obviously, that didn't happen, unfortunately.
I would have loved to have seen a Philip Seymour Hoffman appearance.
But then similar to how he got the role in Good Time, he reached out to Claire Denis and told him that he just wanted to, and told her that she just he told her
yes
that he wanted to be in a movie with her, and so that ended up working out.
That's amazing. I'd love to just reach out to places that I want to work and be like, bring me on, and they're like, hell yeah, gotcha.
Yeah,
that's nice that he's getting like, I guess, that kind of, I don't know, that he's able to ask these pretty well-known directors, you know, like totally let me be in your stuff. And they're like, yes, please, come on. You know what I mean?
Please.
Definite recognition of talent from the director's part. And, you know, people just involved in filmmaking in general, like they could see, you know, that definitely an actor to be reckoned with, I would say.
For sure. I think he's even, and developing especially status, after, you know? Yeah, especially after The Batman. I genuinely think that he will go back to some more indie projects. I think he's actually doing Claire Denis' next movie as well.
Interesting.
With A24. So we'll see. But he is very much focused on just the, I want to be a part of, you know, like actual cinema. I think he's very much not a person who wants to ever just cash in. Even for The Batman, I think he got paid only in quotes $1 million.
Which I saw that they were getting ready to make another one, or... Matt Reeves mentioned something. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. It's about to do numbers next weekend.
But I have seen some people arguing that they think that it's not going to do as well as everyone thinks that it will, or hopes that it will, rather. And that obviously people think that Doctor Strange will outnumber it.
I can see that.
In terms of just universe and appeal.
Yeah, right.
I can see it happening.
Fucking nutty.
Which I can't necessarily complain, because it's a Sam Raimi.
Yeah, right. I'm not mad about that either. Sam Raimi.
Like, we're getting a new fucking Sam Raimi this year.
When's the last Sam Raimi picture?
When is the last Sam Raimi picture?
Was it? There, no way it was Spider-Man. Spider-Man 3.
No, he had to have done things in between. Let me see. Director. Multiverse of Madness. He did a short film. Wow, his last movie is Oz the Great and Powerful in 2013.
The James Franco movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that was a Sam Raimi movie?
That's a stinker.
Well, I would have never guessed.
And before that, it was Drag Me to Hell.
That's a good one.
And that came like right off the heels of Spider-Man 3.
That's
great. So he's been out the game, I would say, probably for a little. I mean, Oz was in 2013, so it's been 9 years since the last Raimi movie.
God, it's crazy to think that was that long ago.
Right? I wonder what he's been doing in between.
Whatever the hell he feels like.
Absolutely.
Which I would also. Have you ever seen Drag Me to Hell?
I have not. I haven't seen a lot of his movies. I've seen five. I've seen the Spider-Man movies, Oz, and Evil Dead.
Okay. Drag Me to Hell is a solid picture, I would say, starring Anna Paquin, I think. I hope I'm getting that right. But that is a
good example. I do not see Anna Paquin in this cast list.
RIP. I totally just misnamed the lead actress then.
Allison Lohman.
Okay. I could have swore it was Anna Paquin. I'm living in an alternate timeline. Mandela effect. But anyways, the movie slaps. Would definitely recommend.
Hell yeah. So going back to this movie, I don't know. I'm honestly coming at a loss.
Okay. So one thing I noticed in the movie that I thought was interesting was the focus on bodily fluids, which I don't know if you noticed, but
yeah,
definitely like everything you could think of from like sperm to, I guess, like, I don't know if anybody like urinates or anything, but I'm sure like there's some form of like intimate form of bodily fluids involved, because it's very like there's definitely a focus at least on liquid, which I thought, you know, was interesting and made it kind of gave it like kind of like, I guess, a strange, like weird vibe, I guess. I don't know. It definitely added something to the movie and made it maybe just a bit more, I don't know, add an extra layer to the sci-fi elements of it.
I like the design of the ship. It's interesting. It's just like a cube, right?
Yeah. I like the way space is out there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure it's not easy. I don't know what it takes to, you know, like shoot in space, you know, quote unquote. But
lots of green screens.
But it definitely felt like it had kind of a like unique palette to it, I guess. Because it would just be like pure black. Just a straight like abyss, like nothing around. And you know, when it focused on the stars, it would you know, put a lot of emphasis onto them and make them put them in the entire frame. But with space itself, I like the way it was shot. I like seeing the astronauts float through space whenever he's kind of, you know, dumping the bodies off. All of them. I like the way that was composed. Yeah. I like the space suits. For some reason, they feel kind of like retro to me.
They were pretty cool. I got to give props to the costume team on this movie.
Yeah, I like the way they were designed. Not like, you know, I feel like they were not the typical, you know, form of like spacesuits that you think of anyway. Like they weren't as bulky as I feel like normal spacesuits are.
Which I feel like the reasoning is, why would we need to make them be? These are prisoners. We don't give a shit.
I mean, pretty much. Yeah, it looked like it was just made of like canvas. Thread. Like, yeah, like nothing. And I was like, damn, they got these people out here fucking naked on this shit, bro.
In some Gucci suits.
Yeah, that's what Bezos has.
When he goes in a Gucci space suit.
Fucking guy.
House of Gucci space suit.
Yeah.
I do like the other members of this cast. It's a pretty good cast. Patricia Arquette.
Shout out Mia Andre Goth, 3K.
Andre 3K.
Hell yeah.
Also known as Andre Benjamin, which I think he's credited as.
Yeah.
Didn't know that he was actually an outcast.
You didn't?
I did not.
What?
I've never looked into it.
When did you learn this? Like today? Or when you watched the movie?
It's worse.
Oh my God, dude. Like
just as I said that. Because I pulled up his Wikipedia because I was like, has he been in any other movies? Because I remember Class of 3000. I love that show on Cartoon Network.
Yes, yeah, great show. You just took me back just now.
Yeah, did not know that he was Outcast. In Outcast, he was one half of Outcast.
Yes, I now
big boy.
I was gonna say now I don't know who the other member is. So
you also have Juliette Binoche in this movie. Pretty good.
Yes. Oh wait, she's fantastic.
Patricia Arquette was not in this movie. I'm sorry. I'm just fucking reading names. Just
naming names. But how do you say her last name?
Juliette Binoche.
Binoche. Yes, I thought she was excellent as well. She was very like terrifying in her own way.
She was very scary.
She was
in
scary.
This movie. She terrifies me. That little like I don't know what to call it, but the device that she uses.
Oh, they call it the fuck box, I think.
Yeah, the fuck box. I forgot what they actually called it, but
bro, that whole ship was to me just one big horror show. Like it
literally.
Look, honestly, to me it made the movie kind of felt like a sci-fi horror in that sense.
I think it definitely is up there in sci-fi horror. I don't know if it's, you know, up there with like some of the greater films. Like I think we did a sci-fi horror series with Annihilation, The Thing, and The Evil Dead. No.
I think it was Aliens.
Yeah, Aliens.
Yes. 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 Yeah, but yeah, in those, you know, I feel like, you know, there's some kind of, you know, maybe like foreign element in a lot of those, like an alien or something like that. But in this one, everything is happening organically on the ship. Yeah. You know,
well, I mean, there kind of is towards the end. There's some conflict there with the other ship that they find with the dogs inside.
That made me sad.
It made me be sad.
I was like, I don't like this.
Yep. You know what I like? It's unrelated to this movie, but you know, for the movie Dog with Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
In the trailer, they said outright, the dog does not die in this movie.
That's actually great advertising.
That's incredible advertising. That honestly made me want to watch the movie.
That's genius, actually.
Because you use like a site to find out, right?
Yes, I use doesthedogdie.com. Okay. Not a plug. But it does become very handy because I'd be wanting to know stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
I should have
done that for this movie.
Yeah. I kind of started thinking of that. Like every time I see an animal in a movie, I'm like, oh, should I look it up? Nah, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that much in movies anymore.
Which I agree with.
Is a good thing.
Yes, I am for that. Because
there's no point to it. No point whatsoever.
I won't say there's no point to it.
There's no point whatsoever.
It's just unpleasant to like look at, you know what I'm saying? And I'd rather not see it.
Agree.
But I mean, in this movie, I mean, yeah, there are a couple of dead dogs. And that, honestly, that leaves a huge impression on Pattinson's character as well. Yeah.
And his daughter, too.
Yes. Yeah.
She wants to like take one of them because there's a time jump.
That time jump was it was kind of jarring, to be honest. Like it was very sudden. It was like, honestly, I was like, who the fuck is this person now that disappeared on the ship? Because Pattinson more pretty much like, to me, he looked the same.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think they did much to age him. But yeah, they brought in a different girl for Willow and they don't tell you anything. You're just so like, yeah, for the first like moments that you see, you're like, okay, who the fuck is she? Where has she been this whole movie?
Because we've seen her as an infant the whole time. And then just like I said, all of a sudden that huge age jump and just the fact that Pattinson looks the same. And how late in the movie it occurs, it was kind of jarring and just one of the things that turned me off about the movie, I suppose.
Yeah. No, I agree with that as well. I like the look of this movie. Looks pretty good.
It does look good.
I think this was shot on film.
It made me think of another sci-fi, not really horror, but more into the sci-fi element. The Brad Pitt movie, Ad Astra.
You ever seen that? I love Ad Astra, yeah. I think that's a little bit of an underrated movie.
I agree, but I can also, I need to watch it again because the first time I watched it, it was kind of late at night.
I do too.
Last time I watched it, it was in a theater, and I watched it late at night, maybe, I don't know, maybe like 10 o'clock, something like that, and I was falling asleep towards the end, and I don't do that like at movies ever, and I was doing it for that movie. But I
remember liking it though.
I mean, yeah, like I was watching it and like I really like the moon sequence. You know what I mean? That's nice. Whenever he's flying past Uranus,
what restaurant was it? that was featured on the moon.
God. For some reason, I want to say a KFC.
I want to say it was like a Chili's.
Chili's. Now I need to find out.
Ad Astra restaurant.
McDonald's.
I'm just finding actual restaurants called Ad Astra.
Nice.
Apparently there's one in the Woodlands. I don't know. Oh, it's Applebee's. I was close with Chili's.
Oh, okay. That makes total sense. Applebee's.
That would be the restaurant to...
Yes. It all makes sense now. This movie made me think of that movie a lot because, I don't know,
yeah,
they're very similar, I think, in tone, except for, you know, like I said, High Life has that kind of horror element to it, in my opinion, and Ad Astra. To me, Ad Astra feels like pure sci-fi.
Yeah, it's not necessarily horror.
Yeah.
But I was looking into it, so this was actually a mix of digital on the ship and then a 16 millimeter on the Earth little blobs. You can definitely tell that there's an aesthetic difference between those.
I like the way the Earth scenes were shot. I like that gray.
It looked really good.
Yeah, I think pretty relevant. The way how it looked kind of, you know, grayish and grainy kind of reminded me somewhat of, you know, the way Good Time looked, just kind of how dirty the frame looked.
Yes.
Definitely made me think of that, especially whenever we see Robert Pattinson and Mia Goth and their group of, their group and how they would just kind of be dirty, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like, you know, living on trains pretty much, always on the move. Yeah, I thought the way the frame looked and the way it was composed, the coloring, very, very fitting thematically.
Credit to the cinematographer, Yorick Lesseau.
Yes.
Who shot Little Props. Women and Personal Shopper.
Never seen either of those.
You have not seen Little Women?
I've not seen Little Women. No, I know it's on HBO, so I have the ability to watch it. It's also right behind you. Nice.
Another offsite. I love how Lady Bird and Little Women are right next to each other.
Nice. That's that magnetism. But yes, I've not seen Little Women. I do like, what's the director's name? I feel like I should know this.
Greta Gerwig?
Greta Gerwig, yes. Yeah. I do like Greta Gerwig. I like Frances Ha.
So. Yeah, she's great in that.
Yeah.
I am unembarrassably excited for Barbie.
That's, you know what? People should be excited for Barbie.
Yeah.
Who is it? It's Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie.
Yes.
Right.
And then Noah Baumbach co-wrote it with her.
Love it. Yeah. Definitely something I feel like interesting and look forward to.
It's in the cards. Also, I just love Greta Gerwig. She's amazing.
Big facts. So I need to fix that immediately.
Yes, sir.
And I also haven't seen Personal Shopper. I love Kristen Stewart.
That's a really great movie.
Ghost
movie. I think easily one of her best performances. Yes. I think I would put it second to Spencer.
Okay. Now I have to watch it. Because Spencer's goated.
Yes, sir. I think it might be on Netflix still. I think that's how
Personal Shopper?
It. Yeah.
Oh. Nice. Got to fix.
I
thought the score was interesting.
It was interesting. I don't remember anything from it, honestly.
I thought it was good. There were definitely some moments where it shined.
I like that this movie was sort of like a scientific historical landmark because it gave us an image of what an actual black hole looked like. I think like a couple weeks before we actually found out what a black hole actually looks like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like IRL?
Yeah. Because they actually had a like a scientist, I think, on the team for like designing how it would look. Physicist Aureline Barreau was hired as a consultant, and then the spaceship was concepted by Danish Icelandic artist Olafur Eliasson.
Nice. I think probably that depiction of space and the way the black hole looked and the way, you know, it showed like, I don't know, like nebulas occasionally. Definitely one of my more favorite depictions of space. It makes me think of Interstellar and how space was depicted in that movie, which I really liked anyway. I think they deal with a black hole as well.
They do a black hole as well, but it's inaccurate actually.
Well, fuck it. It's the movies. But it, yeah, it, she was making my head spin watching Mia Goth fly into the fucking black hole. The
spaghettification.
Literally, bro. I was like, fucking dying.
Which, something like that would be so horrible because you would literally feel that for thousands of years because of the way that time bends around a black hole. Maybe not thousands of years, but definitely a long ass time.
Bro, what an insane conception of this fucking...
Space freaks me the fuck out.
Yeah,
it's honestly
fucking spooky as fuck. It's like the ocean, like just, but it obviously way more vast. But
ocean
still
scares me more.
Yeah, because that's a lot closer.
Because how the fuck have we had the ocean for literally all of humanity, like the tools to explore it as well, and we only know like 10%? How?
I don't like that.
How?
I don't like that. Let's move on. Let's move on to the end.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I'd have nothing left to say.
Let's call it.
Honestly, I included this movie because it is really one of the best Pattinson performances. It's just that the movie itself, I don't think holds that much for me.
I mean, I'm pretty much in agreement with you. It
excuse me.
It's difficult to latch onto. Is how I feel.
Yeah.
And just in pacing and, you know, how it doesn't feel like it sticks to one cohesive narrative or storyline, you could say. I feel like it loses focus in that regard. And Pattinson's good. I wish there was more of him because I do feel like there was not enough of him. Like I said, the best thing, the thing that I wanted to see the most, him and Willow, you know, we don't really get that. You know what I mean?
We get it at the beginning and then sort of at the end, but
yeah, but at the end, it just doesn't hit different.
That doesn't overall affect.
I agree. The viewer. I agree. And like I said, it just, it doesn't hit the same, you know, whenever, we're with his daughter, you know, who's older, I guess just because how jarring her entrance is and that time jump is, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So it, for my first Claire Denis film, I'm a little cool on it. Yeah.
But you do get to see some sperm on this movie, so brings my rating to a 4 out of 5.
I feel that.
My rating's a 3 out of 5. It was originally a 4, but after I watched it, or at least tried to, like, 3 times to get through, I was like, I got to discredit this. But, I mean, it's a good movie, good performances. Could have used some better execution, perhaps.
I agree. Yeah, my review was Bodily Fluids, the movie. So, yeah, I gave it 3 stars because I feel like it's just fine. If I have trouble, if I'm having trouble sticking with it and watching it and, you know, it, yeah, it shouldn't be. It's just fine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Just fine.
Just fine.
All right. So let's get into some other bad reviews, which will probably align more with our prospects.
I will say this movie, it's interesting, the range of reviews and opinions that I see, at least from people that I follow on Letterboxd with this movie. I see a lot of like 5s and 4s and 3s and 2s all peppered in there.
It's very ranged in its perception. I'm just going to go for a 0.5-star review. Susanna says, Letterboxd, please change the premise of this film to what it's actually about. I know it's not your fault. There's a huge phallic-shaped hole in your plot description, and I came here for a space film.
Feel that.
That's pretty funny. What is the description? Monty and his baby daughter are the last survivors of a damned and dangerous mission to the outer reaches of the solar system. They must now rely on each other to survive as they hurtle toward the oblivion of a black hole. Yeah, that only encapsulates like 20% of the movie.
Yeah, really. Misleading info. All right, let me see. Okay, so this 0.5-star review from Kinoman151. If you are already on Vicodin and a lot of sleeping pills, then this film is the best medicine for sleep and maybe even lethargic. Yes, I would not watch this movie late at night.
No. All right, and then I'm actually going to read a review. Not that this is a bad review, but it's a less favored review of the movie, but I wanted to include it. Review from Zachary, friend of the show. Color me a little disappointed that I'm still not in love with Claire Denis' High Life. This movie is the kind of high-minded and stunningly photographed science fiction I clamor for, but it never quite fucks my box the way I want it to. Part of the issue is the inmates portion of the story is never as engaging as Pattinson and Baby Willow, which we've talked about. The past timeline is an interesting tangle of great performances and interesting subtext, but ultimately none of the ideas or characters are teased out in a satisfying way. I still find this movie to be intermittently compelling, and it really is a visual and oral delight. It just leaves me wanting a lot more. And I honestly say that that is 100% how I feel about this movie.
Yeah, I was going to say intermittently compelling.
That is literally out of my thought, or out of my thought box.
Right, your thought box, yeah. Yeah, no, I really couldn't have said that any better myself. You know, it's just good enough to where you have to recognize that it's, or you don't have to, but I feel like I have to recognize it's good, but it's like, this ain't hidden the way I was kind of hoping. So I found another half star review, which I find to be pretty accurate as well, by Keon Karami. Half star review, they say, this is an extremely boring, uneventful art movie, and it pains me to say that. I don't necessarily agree with that part, but this paragraph. The story is all over the place. It's in the past, then the future, future, back to the past again. It's all very jarring. It should have just been a beginning to end without time skipping.
Yeah.
Which I pretty much almost said the same exact point earlier. Should have just stuck to one narrative. The best one, in my opinion, being the one with Robert Pattinson and Baby Willow.
Yes. Agree. All right. So now we'll do a positive review just to even things out. I do have a 5-star review here from Al. Al says, Andre 3000 being in this and Charlotte's Web, range.
Love it. Shout out Andre 3K. I loved seeing him in scenes. I was like, yes. We need more.
We need more of him. Bring him into your movie.
I love.
We'll cast him.
Love when musical artists can just kind of effortlessly step in to acting like that. Okay. I'm going to read Iana's.
All right.
Iana. Yeah. 5-star review from Iana Murray. She says, someone hand me a cigarette.
Fair enough. Simple.
Yes.
To the point.
Indeed.
I wish that they were. Have you seen that Colin Farrell fought to have a cigar in the Batman, but Warner denied?
That's fucking lame.
I hate it.
I was
trying to smoking back.
I was trying to think of contemporary movies that had smoking, and only one comes to mind. I'm hoping there's more, and I'm just not thinking of them. But I know Licorice Pizza, there was smoking on screen,
yeah,
like a lot of it. But I just couldn't think of any other movie that had smoking up front like that. Maybe I'm just being dumb and forgetting some. But
no, I mean, it is genuinely just not in movies anymore because they have to be good for children.
I see.
Because, yeah, when I see a cigarette in a movie, I'm like, fuck, I need it.
I feel you. Because smoking just looks bad as dope as fuck.
It does.
On screen.
It does.
It's cool.
It's cool.
It's an extremely cinematic action.
That's the best way to coolify your actors. Or your characters, rather.
Right. Show the nihilism in them.
All right, time to get into what we've been watching in between episodes. I'll have you start it out.
Cool. I think I've only seen maybe like 3 things. So I, first one being the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the new one.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I had fun with some parts, but for the most part, it was pretty derivative. Obviously being a remake, but it just, I don't know. It was a little tasteless in my opinion. Some of the kills were cool, I guess, but I don't know. It just didn't.
But did they cancel Leatherface?
Leatherface canceled them. yeah, so that's really all I can say about that.
It kind of pained me to see Elsie Fisher be a part of it.
Elsie Fisher from 8th grade?
Yeah.
She was in the movie? Oh, wait, yeah. I think she's one of the lead actors,
I think,
actually.
So, yeah.
Okay. Dang, okay. I thought she looked familiar, but I couldn't say for sure. But anyways, yeah, I watched that, and then I watched High Life, and then I watched something yesterday. Oh, I watched this, I want to get it, let me see. It's this movie on Shudder. Yeah, a movie from Thailand called The Medium. Super spooky, I guess. It's a bit long, too long, but the last like half of it is fucking terrifying. Kind of found footage, I guess. It's shot from a documentary team's perspective, and Yeah. So if you're looking for a good spooky movie tonight, I'd say The Medium is worth your time.
Looking for a good Thai horror?
Yes, because it gets fucking horrifying and I'm like, God, no more. So go check it out.
Hell yeah. On Shudder?
Yes, on Shudder. Shudder continues to be, aside from HBO Max, the premium streaming service, especially if you love horror films. Not a plug, but Shudder is dope.
Yes, sir. All right. So I'll go ahead and get on my movies. I watched 5 movies. I watched Uncharted, which sort of like your experience with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I felt that it was better than I expected it to be. It was a fun time. I do not buy Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg as Nathan Drake and Vincent Sullivan.
Have you played the games?
I feel like I started playing Uncharted 4 after the movie, and
I love those games.
I just immediately was like, yeah, I should have just played this instead.
Yeah.
Should have just played through some movies or watched some like walkthroughs or whatever.
The games themselves are very cinematic.
Yeah, already. They are. They're very cinematic, especially the fourth one, which I've been playing.
Yes.
Very fun.
I love those games. Hardcore adventure games right there.
I like them. I like good adventure games.
Same.
And puzzle solvers and...
Same. That's why I think that's like part of my appeal to a game like Resident Evil, all the puzzles that are involved.
I'm not a Resident Evil fan. I don't like.
I don't know why I am.
I don't like when horrors bring into the mix in video games. It's
too much stress. Involving
to me. I've tried it plenty of times. I think the first one I ever played was Slenderman, and I think I uninstalled that after like 30 minutes.
Fuck that game.
And then I watched the Solaris from 2002, Soderbergh's Solaris.
Oh, nice.
And I really liked a lot of that movie. There's a lot about death and grief in that movie. Same thing for Tarkovsky's, because they're based off of the same source material. I want to make it very clear that Solaris 2002 is not a remake of the Tarkovsky movie, and they make it very clear talking about the movie and in the movie's presentation. It is not a Tarkovsky remake. It's just another adaptation of the source material.
Okay.
Found out that Ryusuke Hamaguchi in film school, where he was taught by Kiyoshi Kurosawa, did an adaptation of Solaris. And so I am dying to see that so we can do like a Solaris trilogy.
Oh, that'd be cool. Wow. Yeah. I'd be fucking down. I've never seen any of those movies, or either of those movies, I should say. I want to, because that seems like another high concept sci-fi film with that extreme human element.
And I would say like Tarkovsky's is like sort of like horror-ish.
Okay.
It's more horror-ish than Soderbergh's is. Soderbergh's is sort of more like lamentful and
George Clooney, right?
Yeah, George Clooney. It was actually originally supposed to be Daniel Day-Lewis, but didn't work out.
Nice.
And it was also originally going to be made by James Cameron.
Interesting.
But he did become a producer because he acquired the rights and then gave it to Soderbergh. Viola Davis is in it. Jeremy Davies is in it as well. Love Jeremy Davies. He's been talked about a lot on the timeline lately.
Heck yeah.
Then I watched another movie I've been wanting to watch for a while, Everybody Wants Some, by Richard Linklater. That originally came out in 2016, and I met Richard Linklater when he was doing like sort of like press touring, I guess. That was my first semester ever as a film student. And the first week, Richard Linklater and 3 of the cast members, it was Tyler Hoechlin, Blake Jenner, and I think, I don't remember who the third one was. I think it might have been Ryan Guzman. I'm not 100% sure, but it was a fun time, fun interview. A lot of people asked a lot of questions that were not related to Everybody Wants Some. Like everyone just wanted to know about Boyhood, because that just came out as well.
They said, fuck this movie. We want to know the real
answers. It's a good movie. I liked it. It's like a spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused. It takes place at Sam Houston, where I went to college and you went for a little bit.
It takes place in Sam Houston? I didn't know that.
And it takes place in Huntsville as well. If you're familiar with the Huntsville, Texas area, they include the Jolly Fox. And I think there was one other old bar that it had included that isn't around anymore. But I thought it was really cool.
That is cool. For some reason, I think I thought it was shot in like Austin or something.
It was shot in Austin, but it takes place at Sam Houston.
Okay.
And then I watched 2022's Scream, which I wanted to five scream cream. The whole time that I was watching it. Five wanted cream,
five yes. cream the whole time.
And I thought the same thing that you sort of talked about. Jenna Ortega was easily the best part of the movie.
Yeah,
I was wrong from a few weeks ago when I claimed I thought I knew who the killer was. I did not.
Yeah, pretty mid movie.
Yeah, in my opinion. Honestly, less than mid. It was okay.
Just okay.
Yeah, I just thought...
I think there's going to be another one, too.
I think yeah, which I don't... One. Again, I think I talked about it. I want to know how they're going to title that. Are they going to call it Scream 2? Yeah,
for real, though. Scream 2, parenthesis, 2.
I think we've talked about it. Scream is like one of those series that you could replace... You could have a number in each of the letters for each movie, and it would have made sense.
Too Scream, Too Serious?
And then another, so overly mid movies that I've been watching are in most cases less than mid. I watched The Kingsman.
I've been super cool on those movies.
I really liked the first one. The second one I was a little cooler on, but I thought it was still really entertaining. I liked Pedro Pascal in that movie. And I really was looking forward to Kingsman 3 because I really love the Eggsy story that they have going on. And then they announced that this one would be a prequel. And when that happened, I was like, why? And then while I was watching this movie, I was like, why? I don't give a fuck.
I saw the end credit scene or mid credit scene with.
Oh, yeah.
That shit fucking, made me.
Yeah.
Why? I've only seen the first one and I remember liking it, but I was just not interested in seeing it anymore. I don't know.
Which, I mean, you probably would be pretty cool on the second one. It's definitely worse than the first one. And this one is easily the worst of the series.
Lame.
And I'm going to sue everyone who said that it was the best of the series. So everyone watch out for a subpoena.
About to get served.
And that's it. That's everything. So dope. I have nothing else to say.
I don't either. It's time to cut and run.
Time to get the fuck on out of here. Next week, we're going to be talking about The Lighthouse, which I'm very excited for. And I'm going to try to convince Scarlett to come on because that is her favorite movie.
Nice.
It was one of the first things that she ever mentioned to me when we first met. So let's hope that she comes on the show.
Heck yeah.
If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can reach out to us on social media at Other Film Guys or on our website, theotherfilmguys.com. And again, don't forget to give us a rating and a review. And you can subscribe on Patreon for early access to episodes and drunk commentaries. And if you're at all interested in anything that I have to say outside of this podcast, my social tags on pretty much everything are Living Mediocre.
And I'm at RocketMan3, just replace the O with a zero.
All right. That is it for this episode. Real short one, but come back next week for some killer Eggers talk. I'm excited.
Same. Peace be with y'all.
Peace.